So, Stephanie, thank you for joining us on the latest edition of Women's Soccer Zone. Currently out in France playing for Albi. Let's start with that. How are you enjoying your experience over in France?
It's been a good experience so far. Obviously, it's a different country, different culture. It's took me a while maybe to get settled, but I'm getting there now. I had a good game yesterday, and I'm confident that I can get better as the season goes on.
It's a far cry from the Irish League, isn't it?
To be honest with you, we have some really good players in Ireland, and there's a lot of players who I think would definitely get into teams over here, and maybe even I think Piemont, our old team, could have maybe competed a little bit in here. There's obviously the exception of maybe Lyon and PSG, who'll be miles ahead of most teams in Europe, to be honest with you. But I think there are a lot of players in Ireland who will succeed over here and would do well.
What's the expectation on a team like Albi, obviously newly promoted to the French Division One? You've already mentioned that it's difficult to compete against the likes of Lyon and PSG, but is it a case of trying to almost match the teams below those two?
I think in this league for the last few years, it's been the same four for the last few years with Lyon, PSG, Montpellier, and Juvisy. They've all kind of finished in the top four spots, and then it's the rest is just left for everybody else to fight for. So at the minute, we're sixth in the table, which is good. We're mid-table, and I just said we've just been promoted, so we want to try work on staying in the league for this season and just work from there and maybe try and get settled in the league and get our name kind of established in the first division.
Now, you've played against PSG and Lyon. I'm not going to go into the results because it didn't quite go according to plan for you guys. But what was it like coming up against top-class internationals and two teams that are considered to be giants of Europe?
It was a good experience. To be honest, we kind of held our own against them for the first half in both games. We done quite well defensively, and we had a chance against PSG in the first half. Maybe if it had went their way, we might have maybe held on for a draw or got a kind of lesser result maybe. But obviously they've got some great players, and it's great to play against people. That's the reason I came here, was to try to play against, as you said, top international players and learn from them and kind of learn from the experience of losing, because nobody likes losing games.
Tell me about what it's been like in terms of adjusting to the culture in France. What have you had to try and adjust to, and what did you kind of, how different did you find it initially, and how difficult has it been?
I think the biggest difference would be, like, obviously I played in Ireland all my life and I played with the international team, and we've always kind of had a great camaraderie in the dressing room, and everybody's kind of had like got on, and just it's like we'd be friends mostly, you know, kind of the way it wouldn't just be teammates. But over here it's kind of different. It's like it wouldn't be as camaraderie maybe in the dressing room, if that makes sense. But other than that, now I think it's pretty much the same, to be honest. It's just, as you said, it's a different culture, a different country. For me to try learn the language is the main part for me to try kind of join in with the girls and try and get to know them better.
So I said earlier it was a far cry from the Irish League. Just out of interest, how was it that the move to France came about? Do you have an agent that kind of made the move for you, or was it the case of maybe the French club had seen your video of the goal that we're going to talk about a little bit later? How did the move come about?
We played in the Champions League 3 years ago with Piemont, and we got to the knockout stages and actually played against PSG, who are obviously one of the top teams in France and in Europe. So after that game, I had a guy who was a journalist who just knew a lot of clubs in the French League and asked me to go and play for a team at the time. But it was just kind of, I didn't really feel too comfortable going to that team, and myself and Piemont with the team had just got back into the Champions League after winning the league again. So I kind of wanted to try go one step further with Piemont and try get to the next stage of the Champions League, but it didn't work out in the end. And when they came back to me again this year, I decided that I'd give it a shot and see what happens. You go from there.
What's been the sort of difficulties in terms of adjusting to life out there? What are the sort of things that you had to try and do differently to ensure that you settled in quickly?
I think the language is probably the biggest difficulty. I mean, obviously I didn't speak any French before I got here, and not many of them speak English over here as well, so it's kind of difficult to communicate with my teammates. And not just like on the pitch, I know most of the words that I need to use and stuff like that, so that's not too difficult. But just in general chit chat, being able to talk to them and maybe have a little bit of a laugh and stuff, has been difficult because they obviously don't understand what I'm saying, and I don't understand what they're saying. So that's probably been the biggest difficulty so far.
Is that quite daunting when you're thinking about going to a club abroad and you know that the language barrier is going to be something that's an issue? There's obviously talk about a lack of players from the UK in the men's game that don't necessarily go abroad, and quite often the belief is that they don't go because of the language barrier. Was that something that you really had to think about, or did you just think, you know what, I'm going to get on with it and I'll deal with it when I get there?
I think I obviously thought about it. I knew that I wouldn't, like, I'd done French in school and stuff like that, but it would have been a long time ago and I wouldn't have been obviously that high of a standard to be able to communicate fluently or anything like that. But I think when I was offered to come and play at a good club, and as I said before, I came over on trial and I enjoyed it here, so I kind of thought I'll just go for it and hopefully I'll get to learn the language. Obviously included in my contract is French lessons, so I'm getting there with them, and hopefully the more I get, the better I'll get, and obviously be able to communicate with my teammates a little bit better.
Right, little test for you then, Steph.
Oh God, don't start this now.
You mentioned that you know the sort of things that you have to say on the pitch. Give us some examples of the things that you've had to learn on the field that have been helpful for you.
It wouldn't be anything that's that hard to know. It'd just be left is gotcha, right is draw. And if I was telling someone to move left, move right, I'd say that. Allez la fille is come on, let's go. Encore is keep going. Little things like that, just little words that maybe I'd kind of have to shout or to say where I want the ball, or, you know, the kind of way, little things like that.
Excellent. Well, when we interview you again, maybe in the new year or next year at some point, I'll be asking for something a bit more in depth. But It sounds like you're getting on fine. Right. Well, I've kind of deliberately left the bigger news to sort of later on in the interview. But obviously the main reason that people are looking to speak to you at the moment is obviously you were recently nominated for the Puskás Award, which, for those that don't know, recognises the top 10 goals by FIFA over the last year. You're up there alongside the likes of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Robin Van Persie, James Rodriguez, some really, really big names. It must be a kind of a weird time for you at the moment in terms of your name being out there once again.
Yeah, obviously it's a great honour and a great achievement for myself to be named amongst such, I suppose, superstars. I watched the World Cup and I seen the few goals, obviously Van Persie's against Spain. I seen a few of the goals that were, at the time, I thought were great goals, and now to be kind of named amongst them is obviously, it's brilliant and it's great for myself and obviously for women's football as well to be recognised at such a high level.
I read an interview with you this week. Is it true that you found out through a tweet from FIFA that you'd been shortlisted?
Yeah, it was on Twitter. I just got a tweet, and a few other people had kind of tweeted me before it, and I looked on my Twitter feed, and then down a little bit was an actual tweet, official tweet from the FIFA account, so that was when I kind of believed that it was true and wasn't just kind of rumours.
Did you, in your head, did you think this might kind of come around again? Because obviously we'll talk a bit about what happened in October last year, but there was a lot of publicity and a lot of focus on you after you scored that goal, and then naturally, as things do, it kind of died down a little bit, and now all of a sudden your name's in the spotlight again. Had you kind of thought that it had maybe been and gone, or were you in the back of your mind thinking, do you know what, Puskás Award is coming up, and, you know, I might be in there?
To be honest with you, I kind of was just trying to get on. Obviously, as I said, I'm in France now and it's a new season, it's a tough challenge for me, and I was kind of just really trying to focus on that, and I hadn't really, not that I'd forgotten about the goal, because obviously it was a great at the time and it was a great achievement for myself to get such recognition at the time, but I had never thought maybe about the Puskás, to be honest. But I was home, was it 2 weeks ago, and I went to watch a game in Ireland in the Women's National League, and someone actually mentioned it to me. And I don't know how they knew or where they'd heard it, but I thought they were joking. Obviously, I wasn't too sure because they were kind of slagging me, because I've been getting a little bit slagging every now and again about the goal. But he said something about the Puskás Awards, and I was just like, that kind of got me thinking about it. And then obviously when it came out, I was like, Jesus, he wasn't wrong. So I suppose that's when I first started thinking about it at all. It was about 2 weeks ago.
I'm sure we'd all like to see some more female contenders on that list. But for you, does it make it that little bit more special because you are now essentially representing women's football across the world by being nominated on that list as the only woman on there?
Obviously, it's a great honour to be named amongst that at all. I don't think, I'd like to think that my goal is kind of recognised as a good goal and not just as a good female goal. I think I wouldn't, if it was all women and one man, I wouldn't want for it to be the other way around either. You know, kind of way, I think I'm a footballer, I'm an athlete, I've always trained hard, and so has every woman who plays football. So I think we deserve recognition all over the world, not just for them to say, oh, this is one girl on the list and it's an honour. But I think it's a great honour to be on the list no matter what. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, to be honest.
So take us back to that day in October last year. You're playing against Wexford Youth for Piemont United, your former team in Ireland. The ball's crossed into you. You've taken three touches, which includes the effort into the back of the net. When the ball's coming towards you, what's your thinking?
Basically, in the whole game, the defender that was marking me had been marking me tightly all game, so I kind of knew where she was, and I knew she was tight, so obviously it was kind of instinct as well, but I knew when I first took my first touch that she was going to be tight enough for me to be able to flick it over her head, so I kind of just went with it, and obviously it paid off in the end, and it worked out.
How many times do you think you could try that again and come up with the same result?
I've done a thing for the FAI recently, and we kind of recreated the goal myself and David Myler, and I was able to pull it off quite a few times, to be honest.
Some skills in there then, Steph.
I'd like to think so, yeah. It wasn't a fluke.
Is that something that you kind of work on? Is that something that you kind of pride your game on, is technical ability and trying to maybe pull off the unexpected to try and surprise the opposition?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people would say that about me. I kind of would like to think that I'm a technical player, and I do work on my touch a lot and try to get better, and I'd often try different things in training and stuff, and obviously sometimes they don't work out, but the majority of the time they do, and when they do, obviously it's special enough, and I think obviously this goal worked out for the best, and this has me where I am now, so I think I'm going to keep on trying it.
So if someone described you as a little bit flash, would you deny that?
I don't know if I say flash now, but let's just say technical, maybe.
It's all right, I'm just technical prodding. I'm just prodding. I'm just messing. Okay. But the aftermath of that, obviously, I guess the question I'd have, obviously we know that women's football in certain parts of the world doesn't get a huge amount of coverage. I think the Irish League would probably fall under that. Eileen Gleeson, your manager, was obviously videoing at the time. Now, have you ever played it over in your mind what might have happened if she hadn't caught that on camera?
It was actually Wexford Utes, the team themselves, for a video recording for their own team analysis and stuff like that. So Eileen was obviously on the sideline. She wasn't actually recording.
Of course, yeah. Sorry.
She,
yeah.
She got the clip and edited it and got it up on YouTube. So it was obviously thanks to her that it got everything it did. But as you said, a lot of the games in the Women's National League might not be recorded, I think. I was just lucky enough that some teams do put the effort in and try to get their video analysis to try help grow the game and stuff, and obviously catching that clip on video on the day was a great achievement, I suppose. It was great to know that we had it on video. If it wasn't on video, nobody else would have ever seen it, only the maybe 50 or so people that were at the game.
But the aftermath of that, you know, I think it was a few million views that the goal had, and your name was bandaged about. You were on Irish television, Irish radio, Irish papers were queuing up to speak to you. How surreal was that for you, and how did you deal with it?
I think at the time I said the same thing as I'm going to say now. When Eileen put it up, we kind of just wanted to show people that the Women's National League had good quality and that they could look at it and say, oh, that was a good goal kind of thing. We never, ever expected to get the coverage that it did get, to have the likes of Gary Lineker tweeting about it, Rio Ferdinand retweeted it. There's a lot of people who got involved, and that obviously helped grow the popularity of it as well, for so many people to see it and get 3 million hits on YouTube was brilliant. Like, and it's, as I said, it was at the time we never expected it to get so much, and we're just thankful that we got it on video and actually got out there for people to see.
It must have been, you know, the opportunities that have come as a result of that, I can imagine. I mean, how did your life change? I know it sounds like a very kind of dramatic question, but how did your life change after that?
After the goal, at the time, I think in the maybe 2 or 3 weeks after it, there was a lot of stuff going on. I mean, my phone didn't stop ringing. I was getting emails left, right and centre. My manager, Eileen Gleeson, at the time was a great help, because she was taking the same amount of calls and stuff, and she was able to help me out big time, because, as you said, I was asked to go on loads of TV shows and radio stations and stuff like that, and it was great for me to be able to do that, and it was great to see that the Irish people were actually getting behind me and stuff, and like, it was an honour to be able to do it. It wasn't that it was anything that I didn't want to do, but it was just crazy at the time, to be honest, and it was only really 4 or 3 weeks, and then it kind of didn't blow over. Like, I was kind of, everywhere I go, a lot of people recognised me, which is a bit surreal, because obviously that had never happened before the goal, and a lot of my friends would be slagging me when I'm out saying, do you not know who this girl is? Just banter like that was being thrown around quite a lot, and it was just crazy at the time. And now obviously with this happening again, the Irish people have been ridiculously good. I think I've looked at my Twitter like constantly for the last 3 days, and there's been nothing but nice things being said about me, and the Irish people are really, really getting behind me, which is something that I can say has really made me proud to be Irish, because it's great to see that they're helping when they're on to try and get some.
You've never been able to use the line, "Do you not know who I am then, Steph?"
I'd never use that. My friend used it for me though, just to kind of slag me, but I'd always kind of like, "Oh, I don't mind it.
good fun. I guess the final question I'd have relating to Colin, this part of the interview, is I guess it brought more focus on the Irish national team as well, didn't it? I think I saw an interview of you in She Kicks where you said that you were disappointed with the World Cup qualification campaign that Ireland had. You were aiming for a top two finish. Obviously you gave Germany a really good run in that group, especially in the game that you played at home, where obviously they scored two late goals. It was you that actually got the equaliser, wasn't it, very late on, and then someone who managed to loop a shot that got caught in the wind and went over Emma Byrne's head. But was that kind of, you know, your goal and everything else to be the improvement of the Irish team? Do you notice more focus on the national team now?
I think in Ireland, like, the women's football has been growing a lot in the last few years, and as I said, I think my goal has helped get more focus on the league. But I think the FAI have been really good to the Irish women's team, and we're getting there, we're getting the support we need. I think at the minute, I think we need a little bit more, but I can see that coming in the next few years, because we've been successful enough over the last couple of years, and I think we're a growing team. We've got a very young team mixed with girls who are kind of have been around for a long time but are still quite young, which is great. And we've got really good experience, as you said, in Emma Byrne and stuff like that being around. I think it won't be long before we get to a final of a tournament. But as you said, we kind of need the help to push forward with that. And I think we will get that over the next few years.
Just a quick one. I asked a few people on Twitter to throw some questions my way. I did it very last minute. So actually, I did get some through. But before we go to them, as a forward player, tell me what asset Megan Campbell is with that long throw that she's got.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think the two goals in the Germany game were made by her, which was great. It's a great asset to have, and it's great to be able to use it in games like that where maybe we wouldn't be attacking as much and would have to kind of rely on maybe throw-ins and stuff like that, which would never think would be the opportunity to get a goal. She's not only she got a goal throw, she's a great player as well, so it's great to have her in the team when she's fit, and it's a great asset to have.
No, absolutely. I didn't want to pigeonhole her as just a player that can throw the ball, but that is an unbelievable distance that she can generate on that ball when she's throwing into the box. And clearly the Germans had no answer to it, because it's clearly something that people aren't necessarily used to in the women's game. But no, definitely an asset. Right, I asked people on Twitter to drop me some questions your way. I've got a few in, so if you don't mind, I'm going to throw some your way. Diane Hansen came back to me and said, "Congrats. Is this the usual for you, and we were lucky to get it on video, or were you just showing off for the cameras?"
To be honest, I didn't even know that the camera was there. As I said before, there wouldn't be a lot of our games wouldn't be videoed, so it's something, like as I said before in the interview, it's something that I do try to do. Like, I would try to do something different every now and again in games, but I think I was lucky enough that kind of paid off. And we'll just say, yeah, it was maybe a once off, but I will try it again maybe.
Okay, Myth asked the question, "How does it feel to see your name flying the flag for women's football globally?"
It's been brilliant. I mean, it's a great honour for me to be able to, as you say, fly the flag for women's football. I mean, women's football is a great, if anyone watches the game, they'll tell you that it's technically really one of the great games in the world. I think it's a fast growing game, and a lot of women can do stuff with the ball that men can do as well. So it's nice to see it getting some recognition finally.
Okay, Kaz asked, "Did you realise how amazing the goal was at the time?"
No, to be honest, no. It was my first goal of the season for P-Mount at the time, so I kind of was just happy to take it off the mark, if that makes sense. And it wasn't maybe till after the game that the guys set me down and showed me the goal that I was just like, okay, that was nice. And one of the girls, one of my friends, Anya O'Gorman, actually jokingly said, like, "Oh, that's going to go viral, I'm telling you." And then obviously when Eileen put it up, it went from there, which was just crazy.
Great stuff. Okay, just a couple more. The Female Dugout asked, "Congrats on the goal nomination. What female footballer do you ever watch and go, wow?"
To be honest with you, there's a girl who, or a woman who played in Ireland, and she's retired now, but growing up as a young footballer, obviously I would have looked up to her. Her name's Olivia O'Toole. She's the top goal scorer in women's football history, international level. And she was always, every game I went to, I always kind of thought she'd always do something magic, or even when she wasn't having a good game, you'd know maybe she'd pull something out, and it was just, she was great to watch. So I think I'd say Olivia O'Toole.
Okay, and final question from Miss Midfield. Would you ever consider playing in the English WSL? And she's put please afterwards, so clearly keen to see you over here.
I don't know, to be honest. Right now, obviously, I'm in France and I'm under contract, so I don't know what I'd do maybe after this, but obviously I live in Ireland and England's very close to me, so it could always be an option.
Brilliant. Okay, Steph, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much, and good luck with the Puskás Award. Anyone that is online, which is everyone these days, do log on to FIFA's website and vote for Steph, because as the only female representative, we want to see her win this award. So well done, Steph, and thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.